Well, good morning. I'm Craig Carter, and in our current sermon series, we're looking at some English words that consist of four letters that help us live life as God intends it to be lived. And they are all of the sacred or holy variety, but today we're going to look at a concept that many of you probably consider a dirty four-letter word. To be avoided at all cost, it is the word work. Okay, maybe you share the sentiment of former President Ronald Reagan, who once said, "It's true, hard work never killed anybody, but I figure why take the chance?" Now, like it or not, most of us cannot avoid work. And work has a significant and profound impact on our lives. Let me show you how much impact our work has on us. Here is a list of how we spend our time on average as Americans. This is assuming a life expectancy of about 79 years, and if you took every minute that you spend, hour, day, whatever, put it all together, we will have spent at the end of your life 33 years in bed. Okay, 26 of those years sleeping, about 7 years trying to fall asleep. Okay, over a lifetime, you spend about 8.3 years watching television and about 3 years on your phone or computer. And I have a feeling that figure is going to be going up dramatically in the coming generation. You spend about 4.5 years eating meals, a little over a year exercising, another year socializing. It's interesting, if you add up all the time that you spend in school from kindergarten to 12th grade, okay, it's less than a year. It's about 11 months. And you actually spend 7 months out of your lifetime just standing in line. But I left out a major significant chunk of most Americans' lives, and that's the amount of time that we spend at work. That's about 13 years on average that we spend at work on the job. And during a typical 50-year working career, we spend 24% of our time, nearly one out of every 4 hours, not just waking hours, but one out of every 4 hours are spent on the job. And so anything that gets that much of our time, our energy, and our attention deserves and merits our consideration, because it has to have an impact on our spiritual well-being. That's probably why the Bible mentions work 555 separate times. And yet, Scripture says very little about how we are to work. Okay, what that's any specific guidance. About the closest we get to any specific instructions is in Paul's letter to the Colossians when he addresses slaves or servants. Listen to what he says. It says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ." From Paul's instructions, we can gain or gather about three things about how to work right, how we can make work a sacred four-letter word to be embraced and not avoided. And they're listed on your worship guide in an outline there that you either have in your hand for those that are here in the worship center, or if you're joining us online, there's a link to a virtual worship guide. The first thing we can observe is that for work to be a sacred four-letter word, we need to work in the right job. Okay? A lot of people feel like what Paul was saying to the Colossians is addressed to them in particular. That is, you feel like a slave at work, that work is a necessary evil. I've heard folks even use scriptural support for that kind of view, quoting maybe from Genesis chapter 3, where God says to Adam and Eve, "Because of what you have done, the ground will be under a curse. You will have to work hard and sweat to make the soil produce anything." Okay? In that case, work becomes a sentence to be served. It's punishment for our sin and our disobedience. It's a curse to be endured or penance to be paid. But if you have that approach to work, you forget that God gave Adam and Eve something to do, jobs to accomplish before their sin and disobedience. Remember, from the start, even in paradise, they were to tend the garden. They were to prepare meals. They were to name the animals. You see, work for us should not be considered a curse, but rather a blessing. It helps us fulfill our human destiny. You and I have been made in the image of God, and God works. He creates, He provides, He heals. And God gains great satisfaction from His labors. It's why at every moment in creation, He looked over what He had done and what did He say about it? It's good. It's good. It's good. And when He was finished, He said, it is very good. And He wants us to find satisfaction in our work as well. It's rooted in creation and it carries through to the end of time. Even in heaven, you and I will have something to do. We're told that all the saints gather around the throne of God serving the Lord. And so whether it is in heaven or on earth, God has given us work to accomplish. And the key is finding the right job. Now, what is the right job? Well, most of us would think it's a job on Easy Street or Money Avenue, right? But when I say the right job, I mean a job that is consistent with who you are. You know, from the very earliest of ages, we see that different people have different aptitudes, different abilities, different interests. There are some kids that enjoy playing with construction toys. There's other kids that enjoy socializing. There's still other kids that love solving puzzles. And work becomes a sacred four-letter word when we use our giftedness, our natural tendencies to earn a living. We use them in the marketplace. So the child that loves building things becomes a construction superintendent. The child that enjoys socializing becomes a wonderful salesperson. Or the kid that solves puzzles becomes a scientist in the lab. Now, unfortunately, many of us labor at jobs that don't really fit us. And as a result of that, we are disillusioned. We're frustrated by those jobs. We might even become bored. Here's the results of a recent Harris Interactive poll. It was taken in 2019. It found that only 45% of American workers feel satisfied in their jobs. That is an all-time low. In 1987, the figure was 61% felt satisfied. Maybe the next statistic is the reason. Only about half of American workers find their work interesting. In 1987, 70%, 7 out of 10 American workers found their work interesting. And to me, it would be an interesting just to try and hypothesize about why that change has come as the workplace has evolved. But only 20% of Americans are passionate about their work. And as I look at those figures, it seems to me to be sad. It's a shame, actually. Again, think about the significant amount of time we spend on the job. 80,000 to 100,000 hours spent in something that brings no satisfaction or enjoyment. Now, there's certainly some circumstances where we're going to have to settle for a less than perfect job. I mean, if you're unemployed, if you need money, well, then a job is better than no job. But when circumstances dictate, when it's possible, we want to find a job that is right for us, the way God has wired us. Many of you know that I was and am a fan of the sitcom Seinfeld. And a lot of the episodes revolved around the characters' experiences in the workplace. On one occasion, lovable loser George Costanza, in a fit of anger, quits his job and finds himself unemployed with no prospects of new employment. And so he sits down with his friend Jerry, and they consider what some of George's options are. And we're going to show a clip from that. And I just want to say before we show that, if you're online with us due to some copyright, we're not able to live stream this particular thing. So you get a little break for a minute. Just don't go away far. You can go to the refrigerator and right back in the next minute or two, okay? Rest of us. All right, if you find yourself in a less than perfect job, I'm not telling you to go out and suddenly quit that job tomorrow. Don't give up a known for an unknown. But what I am saying is that you need to look for the right job, one that is tailored for you and fits who God made you to be. There's some good questions that you might want to ask yourself, some of them that Jerry asked George there. You know, what are you good at? What do you love doing? And conversely, what are you not good at doing? Or what do you don't love? What don't you love doing? You know, sometimes the dream job for us isn't what we love to do, but it gives us the freedom to do what we love to do. For example, you might love golf, okay? And you say, well, okay, I'll get a job at the golf course. And you get a job in the pro shop. Well, where are you on a perfect day for golf? You're stuck in the pro shop behind the counter. Okay? You'd be better off to get a job that pays enough and has the flexibility that you can go play golf on those nice days. You can become a preacher, okay? Perfect job. No, I'm just kidding. Well, not really. Okay? Well, what do you love doing? What are you good at? Also, it's important to consider how, when, and where you're going to work, not just what you're going to do. I mean, if you don't like the cold weather, you probably don't want to be a ski instructor, right? If you don't enjoy traveling, don't sign up to be a flight attendant or a truck driver. If you're not a morning person, you probably don't want to become a fishing boat captain, all right? And then also, you need to make sure there's a market for what you have to offer in that chosen profession. You might be the world's greatest typewriter repairman, but who's going to hire you right now? Okay? Not a great market for that profession anymore. And so work becomes a sacred four-letter word when we work in the right job. You've probably heard this expression before. Find a job that you love, and you'll never have to work another day in your life. I don't know that that's altogether true, but it gets to the point. We work in the right job. Secondly, we work for the right reason. Why is it that you work? I mean, is it for a fat paycheck? Is it to impress people in your chosen profession? You know, is it just to get out of the house for a while? You know, those are all valid reasons, right, for working, but they're not the best reason. Paul gives that in his letter to the Colossians. Here he says, here's the reason that we should work. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. The master you are serving is Christ. Ultimately, the right reason, the best reason for working is to honor and to glorify God. And for that reason, this message today applies to everybody, whether you're in the marketplace or not. You know, we all have work to do, okay? Even though maybe we think, well, we finished our career and we're now enjoying the fruits of that and retirement, well, there's still work for you to do, either in the church or in the community or within your own household. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. And so we need to work for the right reason, that whatever we do, wherever we do it, we're seeking to honor God. Now, how do we go about doing that, especially for those of us that are still in the workplace? Well, we can honor God through what we do, through who we are, and through what we say. Let's look at each of those individually. First of all, we honor God through what we do. Christian workers should be known as dependable, hardworking, on time, diligent. Okay? Just the cream of the crop. Why? Because we're not just laying bricks, we're building walls for Jesus. We're not just teaching kids, we are raising up the next generation to the glory of God. And just as I spoke a moment ago, those that maybe are retired, the same holds true for folks that are stay-at-home parents. Don't ever say, I'm just a mom, or I'm just a dad. Okay? That you have important work to do for your family, but also for the glory of God. And so Paul says, hey, one of the ways that we honor our heavenly boss, with a capital B, is by obeying our earthly bosses in everything that we do. We should try and please them all the time, not just when they're watching. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Again, just back to Seinfeld, George teaches us a valuable lesson. He later gets a job, and then he teaches us what not to do on the job, okay? Here it is. Us that we don't need to just look busy, we need to what? To be busy, not just when the boss is watching, but all the time. Why? Because we honor God through what we do, being dependable, trustworthy, etc. That leads to the second way that we honor God. It's by who we are. It's by our character. Honor, integrity should characterize our lives as Christian workers. I think what Paul says in other letters applies, that as followers of Christ, we should be beyond reproach in the workplace, that we should avoid the mere appearance of evil. So even if everybody else is doing it, we don't skim a little off the top. We don't cut any corners. We don't fudge the numbers on the bottom line. We honor God through what we do, who we are, and then through what we say. You see, we earn credibility by being known as conscientious employees. We become credible also through the character that we display in the workplace, and that then earns us the right to say something on behalf of Christ. And we view ourselves as marketplace missionaries. When you go to work tomorrow, I would encourage you to see yourself as a missionary. How can you share your faith in appropriate ways? How can you find an opportunity to pray for your fellow employees or say an encouraging word maybe to your boss? You know, how can you show mercy and forgiveness when somebody messes up? Okay? But we see ourselves as marketplace missionaries. And I just want to say to you, you're the best hope that God has for reaching this lost world. You know, even if you could drag all of your lost friends and neighbors and fellow employees to church, preachers are only going to get about 30 minutes of their time each week, right? You've got 40-plus hours with these folks. What an opportunity you have to reach them for Christ. You know, if I have any regrets at all about my work experience prior to becoming a pastor, it's really in this area. Especially when I was serving in the Air Force. I think I was a pretty good employee, okay? I worked hard, at least as hard as anybody does in the Air Force, for that matter, or as some of my folks in other services like to call it, the chair force. But nonetheless, I worked diligently. I didn't steal, okay? Although I do have to confess a couple times I went home with one of those black government issue pens in my pocket, but it wasn't intentional to take those. It was accidental. But the one thing I didn't do was see it as an opportunity to witness to my coworkers. You know, I even knew I was going into the ministry. And I thought, well, once I go to seminary, I'll be better equipped to share Christ with them. But guess what? I might be better equipped, but I now don't have the opportunity to do so. And so I want to encourage you to honor God work for the right reason through what you do, who you are, and also what you say through your words and through your actions. And then finally, work for the right reward. People work for a variety of different rewards. It might be a bigger paycheck, a year-end bonus, the employee of the month award. It might be to get the 20-year pin, maybe the chance to retire early. Those are all valid rewards, but they're temporary, aren't they? And Paul says, work for something that lasts. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. When we work as unto the Lord, when we work for His honor and glory, well, then we receive an eternal inheritance, but also along the way, we get some earthly rewards. And let me just share a few of the rewards that come to mind. Rewards of a job well done, of working right. The first one is confidence. But when you tackle a given task, when you accomplish your objective, well, what happens to your confidence? It begins to soar. Your self-esteem increases. Okay? Some of you maybe have just done this recently. For some of us, it's been a while. But you remember the first day on a job? I don't care what job it is. You just feel totally lost, don't you? You're not sure, you know what you're going to do or how to do it. I heard about a young lady that got a job in an office, and one of her fellow workers on the first day found her in the workroom, and she was just standing with a quizzical look on her face in front of the paper shredder. And the fellow employee said, is there something I could help you with? She said, yeah, how does this thing work? And she had a stack of papers in her hand, and so the fellow employee took them and just started putting them through the paper shredder and took care of all of them, and this new hire still just looked completely bewildered. And she says, well, is there anything else I can help you with? She said, yeah, where do the copies come out of this thing? Okay? Well, sometimes you're just lost, right? But what happens over time? You develop new skills and abilities, and you begin to feel better about yourself, and it prepares you for what comes next. All the jobs that I held prior to becoming a pastor, I knew they were not the right job for me, at least forever. Okay? But every one of them got me ready for what was going to come next. And ultimately, I can look back and see that they prepared me even for this profession of ministry. My first job was in a restaurant as a dishwasher. And I learned how to clean up messes there. Comes in pretty handy as a pastor, okay? Cleaning up messes. Next job, I was in a grocery store. I was a bag boy. And I learned there how to be courteous and smile even when other people were rude, when they made complaints and little comments. Again, that's pretty handy as a pastor. I've learned just to smile sometimes. And certainly my time in the Air Force prepared me and given me needed leadership and communication skills. I never envisioned myself doing what I'm doing here this morning, being in front of a group of people. But one of my jobs in the Air Force was a briefing officer, where for a year and a half I started speaking to small and large groups, and I found out that it wasn't all that bad and that I actually was somewhat proficient at it and found some fulfillment in it. But we find confidence, and that's one of the rewards that God gives us for a job well done. Secondly, we also gain character. I can think of no place, okay, that more prepares us to be the people God wants us to be. I mean, any of y'all ever get any frustrating task at work and things just aren't going well? Well, that teaches you perseverance, a godly attribute. When you squash rumors about fellow employees or about the boss, that teaches you about loyalty. As Christians, we are to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know where you can gain more of an awareness of the fruit of the Spirit than in your job. Remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those will serve you well at work. They'll also serve you well in the kingdom of God. And then finally, perhaps one of the greatest earthly rewards is a sense of accomplishment. God looked over what he had done, over his work, and he said, it's good. As a matter of fact, on the sixth day, he said, it is very good. You can almost hear God saying, you know, I had an idea. And I went to work, I finished my task, and I did it well. It's good. It's very good. And I don't know about you, but nothing compares to the reward of a sense of accomplishment of a job well done. And it could be the custodian who puts up his mop bucket and looks across the gleaming floors in a spotless facility. It could be the bookkeeper who balances the ledgers down to the penny. It could be the farmer who harvests the last row and looks out across a field that's completely cultivated. Or the carpenter who nails the last nail and finishes his project. It could be the mom who rocks her baby and then pats her child to sleep. You know, for me, it comes oftentimes when I finish writing a sermon and hit the print icon, okay? Just a sense of accomplishment. But those are all just, again, temporary. None of them compare to what it's going to be like one day to hear our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Boss say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I just want to say to any of you that are bosses, that are in any place of authority or responsibility in a marketplace, one of the best gifts you can give your employees is to kind of stand in for God in that right. You know, you represent Him and just saying, well done, thank you, I appreciate you, attaboy, attagirl. And nothing compares to that reward. You know, I don't think many of you think this, but a few people kind of think that I'm the boss around here. Okay, none of the church staff is aware of that, but nonetheless, I'm not the boss. As I look at it, I've got about 1,500 bosses, okay, the members of this church. But I want to tell you, one of the best rewards I get is when some of you say those kind of things to me and give me that sense of accomplishment. Let me show you how much it means to me. I just brought this, just a sample. These are ones that I've just gotten over the last maybe weeks or a couple months. Okay, these are just some cards that have been sent to me, okay? And every card that people send me that has an encouragement or says that something I said stuck with them or whatever, I save all of those cards. So I've got years of those cards, just a file drawers full of them. Now let me just say, I don't keep every letter that comes to me, okay? Especially ones that are anonymous, okay? But these I do keep, okay? And it means so much just for somebody to say thank you. And I'm glad that I get a paycheck twice a month. But that right there is an incredible reward. And I hope in whatever your chosen career is, that you receive those kind of rewards as well. But also know when you're working for the glory of God, He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, we spend a large portion of our time on the job. And so if we're going to make work a sacred, a holy word, well, then we need to be in the right job. We need to do it for the right reason. We need to seek the right reward. So just a few questions for you before we close. The first one is your job a blessing to you? And if it is, if God has blessed you with the right job, then you just need to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me that job. And if you're not in the right job, or maybe if today you're looking for employment, this would be a good time just to say, Lord, not just any job, but God, lead me to just the right job. And then, are you honoring God through what you do and who you are and what you say? And if you fall short in any of those categories, just confess it and say, God, help my life to honor you in the workplace or wherever you're laboring for Him. And then finally, how about, are you earning the rewards of your labor? And maybe you just need to kind of ask God to give you some new challenges that'll increase your confidence, your sense of accomplishment, will help develop your character. You know, what the Navy says of their profession is true of all work. It's not just a job, it's an adventure. And work is a sacred one at that. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we just thank you for the work that you've given to us. And Lord, sometimes it is hard, it's difficult, it's that very word, it's laborious to us. But Lord, we know that it's not intended to be a curse, but rather to be a blessing. And God, for any of us that right now are able to or in the past have been able to work in the right job, we just thank you for that. And for any folks in this room that are watching online that maybe aren't in the right job right now, or maybe they're seeking employment, God, I pray that soon and very soon that you would lead them to just the right place, a place that's fit and appropriate just for them, a place where they can serve you. And so, God, we do desire to honor you through our work, whether it's in our home, whether it's in your church, in the community, or in the world. And God, help us to see that whatever we do isn't just to please people around us, not even to please our own boss, but it is ultimately to honor and to glorify you. So God, I just pray for these folks, especially people that are still in the marketplace. I pray that as they go to work, maybe later today or tomorrow, throughout the week, that they would truly be marketplace missionaries. And that folks all across our community would come to know that Jesus is Lord and Savior and friend because of the way that these folks conduct themselves, through the words that they share, through the actions that they take. And so, God, we thank you for work. Help us to use it, not just to earn a living, but to make a life, and also to honor and to glorify you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.